Praise the Lord. All right, I have a couple things. Let me say this. Let me give a pardon update. It's been 2 years since we've been here. We still haven't got it. Biden's trying to figure out how to pardon himself. And Trump is a convicted felon, too. Maybe we can get it on a package plan. I don't know. But I'm on the website, the Department of Justice website. I've been on it for like 50 years, only now I'm in the pardon category. It's pending. It's not denied. It hasn't been granted. It's pending, depending. If God chooses to give it to me, I'll get it. And if he doesn't, I'll be more than happy to settle for the one he already gave me. But I appreciate your prayers. It could still happen. I figure that there'll probably be a letter in the mail the day after my funeral. All right, something else. Now, I do have copies of my book out in the Jeep, I think. So I know you've had some. You may even have some floating around here still. But if anybody happened to need one, I do have some, and I'd be happy to bring them in. And lastly, and most important of all, our niece had a brain aneurysm last night. 24 years old. She is totally unresponsive still up in Michigan. Her name is Sarah Fitzgerald, and they did do some surgery. They did do brain surgery. They went in, and they said if she would have been older, they wouldn't have bothered. It's pretty severe. I don't know what's going to happen. She's a saved girl, and I'm just asking God's people to pray for her. And, amen, that's better than the greatest brain surgeon in the world. So please pray for Sarah. Amen. All right, take your Bible tonight and go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, we'll begin reading at verse 14. Now, Paul writes this. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. I look at that verse, circumspectly means, in the military we call it situational awareness. It means know what's going on around you. Amen. It's extremely important for a motorcycle rider. We had guys even back in the old days that had tunnel vision. How many know what tunnel vision is? I mean, there's people that can, all they see is what's right in front of them, and that'll get you killed. And isn't it interesting that the Lord puts that verse in there that you and I, as we walk through this life, are to have situational awareness. We're to walk circumspectly. And I only bring that out to say that many Christians seem to have tunnel vision. They get blindsided and encapsulated in struggles that they wouldn't have to worry about if they were just aware of what the Bible says. Amen. But if you just, if you don't get in the book, you don't listen to the preaching, you just think all there is to this thing is going to church and not drinking, things like that, the don't do list and the do list, like all the other religionists. You're setting yourself up to be blindsided by the devil. All right, verse 15, 16. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Well, that's a given. The days are evil, and they ain't getting better no time soon. Until the trumpet blows, I guess. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. There he brings us back to the Bible again. Because it's not a secret. The will of God is revealed to us in the book that the Holy Spirit wrote. Verse 18, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So much great, practical doctrine in the book of Ephesians. This Bible's not hard to understand. Amen. Just doing it.
in spite of a flesh that isn't complicit, it's what's hard. So you know, sometimes you just do it anyway. Amen. Verse 16 is what got my attention. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Again, you wouldn't have to spend much time trying to convince anybody that there's stuff going on in our country that we never in a million years would be going on. Right. Amen. I saw a cartoon. Every once in a while, a couple of brethren send me these little, they're cartoons, basically. And one of them has got some liberal person appalled that they're putting the Ten Commandments in the schools, demanding it in Louisiana. And then next to the picture of the Ten Commandments was a flyer advertising drag queen story. Really? In America? In schools? You ever wonder why they don't have drag queen hour at nursing homes? Because they're not trying to reach people like us. They're trying to reach young, impressionable minds. And they're doing too good a job at it. And that's why we're where we're at. The days are evil. That could take a whole service and it wouldn't be a Bible message. So we're going to leave that the way it is. But it does say that, doesn't it? Because the days are evil. Redeeming the time. You only get so much time. I had a saying in the old days. Before I got saved, life is like a merry-go-round. Only you only get to go around once. And you better make it count. Amen? You don't want to get to the end of your life with more regrets than stories to tell. Amen. Precious Saint took my wife somewhere to breakfast one time, and they had a gift shop, and she saw a plaque, and it said, "Blessed are the curious, for they shall have adventures." I don't know what version that is, but she thought of me and bought it for me and sent it home with me, and it's somewhere in my office. And I'll tell you what, if I get to the end of this life and can't get around, I'm getting there too, it seems like. Boy, I've had some adventures, and God has been so good. Amen. And what, you know, I'm not just saying this. One of the things that's a blessing to us is that we've been coming up here all this time. What a blessing it is to be here. I was telling the brother, there's probably no better place for us to be in this situation with the motorhome needing to go in than right here. We got a nice profit chamber. We got people that like us. Amen. Can I get a witness? Amen. Amen. How many have heard the expression, kick the bucket? Everybody. All right, you know where that comes from? I looked that up. And here's where that comes from. It comes from a scenario where you go out the barn, you throw a rope over a rafter with a noose on it, you step up on a bucket and tie that thing off, and then kick the bucket out from under yourself. It refers to committing suicide. Amen. That's where that comes from. Kick the bucket. Amen. How many of you ever heard the expression bucket list? I guess that was a movie. That's the first time I ever heard of it. Bucket list. But a bucket list is things you want to do in your life before you kick the bucket, I guess. Amen. Amen. And so I want to talk about that tonight. I want to preach on redeeming the time. Let's talk about the bucket list for a minute, and then I'll pray. For many, it's getting married. Getting married. I mean, young people grow up, especially Christians grow up, and that's something they want to do. They want to get married. They want to find who God's got for them, male or female, doesn't matter. I tell young men oftentimes when they tell me they're getting married, I say, you know, the truth is, according to the Bible, man is not complete until he's married. How many would agree with that? It's not a trick. You're waiting to be tricked. And then he goes, yeah. And then I said, but then he's finished. And it's a joke. But truth of the matter is, man is not complete in God's economy until he's married. I understand there's exceptions like Paul. I'm not saying that. But I'll tell you something. There is nothing better than the right spouse. Be it wife or husband. There's nothing better. Conversely, there's nothing worse than the wrong one. Say, what do I do? You let God do the choosing. Absolutely. Well, we get attracted because of fleshly things. Buddy, you better find a spouse that you can connect with spiritually, because we get older and things change. Amen? Right. Many have that on their bucket list. For some, maybe somebody in here, you've got a vacation to an exotic place on your bucket list. I do. Martville. It's right up there on it. My daughter's been on a couple cruises. She likes cruises. I talked to a lot of brethren and sistren. Amen. I don't know who. It's got to be the wife that thought of it. But they go on cruises. I think that inner passage to Alaska, I've heard, is phenomenal. Amen. I can see how it would be. But they like cruises. Me, not so much. I heard a preacher say, well, I've never been on one, but I'm an Army guy. I'm not a sailor. I don't want to be on a boat that long. A couple hours is one thing. But I heard a preacher say this recently, a cruise, and I, not from personal experience, but a cruise is where you pay money and you get pampered. Everything's done for you. Everything, you know, you just go sit on a lounge chair, go to the endless buffet. Amen. Things like that. I don't know. Entertained. I don't know. But you're paying the money and it's all to pamper you, right? Let me tell you something. The ship of Zion is not a cruise ship. It is a battleship. Amen. And all hands are required on deck. Amen. No lounge chairs. No endless buffets. Although I did hear the Navy feeds better than the Army. You ever heard that? Yeah, they'd have to do something tricky on to get on a boat for 6 months. You got any Navy guys? How many? Have I lost them? Maybe we should have took the offering first. Thank you for your service. Amen. If it'll make you feel any better, my pastor is a retired Navy chief, and he never fails to remind me, because I got to, like, salute the, yeah, okay, go on. All right, so an exotic vacation. If you're thinking about an exotic vacation, I mean, talking about something that really just will blow you away with the magnificence of God, go to Alaska. We've been up there a couple of times preaching, and I mean, you don't have to go anywhere expensive. Just go outside, and it's like, wow. It's amazing. I really, really liked it. My wife years ago was asked if you had one place to recommend, because we go to national parks and a couple of amusement parks. Now the kids are grown more national. Somebody said, if you could pick one place you would advise people to try to go to in their life. And she said, the Grand Canyon is pretty magnificent. We took Evie there, my little girl that's not so little anymore. We took her there. She is probably, I don't know, 8, 9, something like that. We're standing out at the South Rim, and she says to Mom, probably, this is better than Disney World. And a woman that was there also on the little bus that takes you out to, she goes, I can't believe an 8-year-old girl would say something like that. I said, that little girl knows where this came from. That little girl knows who made this. And it gave us a chance to witness. I think she caught a separate bus on the way home. Amen. But people have things on the bucket list. There's nothing wrong with that. For some, it's just an experience. My wife read a book. My wife reads. I mean, she reads. Have I ever mentioned that? Like every year, probably. She read a book. We go to Maine, and she gets a book about somebody from Maine. We go to Idaho, and she gets a book about the Oregon Trail. We go to Alaska. That's what she does. And so we go to Maine, and she finds this book about a woman. It's 1954. She's 65, single lady, 65 years old. She's diagnosed with cancer. And it has always been on her bucket list to ride a horse from Maine to California. And at 65 years old, with a horse and a dog following around, she did it. She rode a horse. It took a year. Amen. And but that was on her bucket list, and she didn't miss. You know what's on my bucket list? Jumping out of airplanes. I just always wanted to do that. Amen. Thank you to the United States Army for providing me for that opportunity. And for the Veterans Administration for all the titanium joints that I now have because of that opportunity. My wife, if you ask my wife what's on her bucket list, one time I said, honey, we're going home. We got a week off. What do you want? Where do you, we're not going home. I said, we got a week off. And I said, any place you'd like to go? She goes, yes, home. I want to go home. I want to go somewhere that's not vibrating and moving all the time. But truth of the matter is, you know what she'd rather do? I like go on a motorcycle ride. She wants to spend quality time with the grandchildren. That's what floats her boat. Everybody ought to have something to look forward to and that they want to do. We were in New York City one time, and I was complaining that they never took me to a Yankees game after 20 years because I'm not a baseball fan. It was just something to complain about. And sometimes my wife sees an opportunity to put her 2 cents worth in. She goes, well, you've never taken me to the New York Philharmonic. And, you know, she's classier than, no, if I say that, you'll amen it too loud. But amen, she would like that stuff. She's way more cultured than I am. And I started thinking about that, and the pastor said, hey, Brother Dave, you come back here in December, and we'll take you to Handel's Messiah at Carnegie Hall. So we got a couple kids from Ohio at Carnegie Hall watching Handel's Messiah in Manhattan. God is so good to us. That Bible says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy way, trust in him also, and he shall bring it to pass. Amen. And he brought it to pass, didn't he, Sue? Amen. Bucket list. What's on your bucket list? I'm not asking for a show of hands. But just a question, doesn't it get the wheels turning? Amen. Maybe get you thinking. I want to preach on redeeming the time, and let's just pray and go from here. Father, thank you for this great opportunity to address these precious saints tonight, and help me to say something that'll provoke them to think about things that are important to you tonight. Father, please help me to preach. And God, if there's an outside chance somebody in here is not saved, I pray that they'd be closer to that wonderful moment before they leave here tonight. Father, thank you for grace, and I pray for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So what about as a Christian? Now, I've talked about carnal things. But what about as a child of God? What would be on your bucket list? What might you want to make sure you get to do at least one time before you step into eternity? Amen. That's my bucket list, going into eternity with Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So let me just give you a couple things, and maybe they'll apply to you, maybe they won't. But number one, it ought to be on your bucket list to read the Bible. We claim to be Bible believers. I didn't get religion, and I know what crowd I'm with. We're Bible people. Amen. Amen. And we claim to be Bible believers. I got to say, you're going to have to know what it says for that to be true. There's just more to being a Bible believer than tucking the King James in there and inspired Word of God under your arm. Bless God, I've got it. No, there's a little more to it than that. You need to move it over a little bit. Hide the Word of God in your heart. Amen. To be a Bible believer, you're going to have to become familiar with what it says. Amen. And I know you've heard all that thousands and thousands of times. If you had Bill Grady here last week, you heard it from him. And, of course, he's very good at it, getting people to read their Bible. Brother Gipp, getting people to read their Bible. You've heard that over and over. But I'm talking about a bucket list. I'm not just telling you to read your Bible. I'm telling you maybe somebody in here would benefit by being provoked to do something they've never done. Maybe somebody needs to be encouraged to, like, read their Bible from Genesis to Revelation all the way through. A lot of people in our churches read the Bible. They'll read chapters. They'll read portions. They'll read a proverb a day. They'll read a psalm. But I'm talking about just making up your mind. You hear about it. Read your Bible through in a year. Some people do that, and that's good to do. But there's people in our churches. I'm talking about our Bible-believing churches. That's our crowd. That's my crowd. And they probably maybe have never done that. Maybe that's you. And I'd just like for you to consider just putting that on your Christian bucket list. You know, Brother Spurgeon said, and I think that'd be a good idea. And I'm not telling you when to start, and I'm not telling you how much to read, and I'm not telling you when to stop. I'm telling you to consider making a point to get it done all the way through. Have you ever done it? I'm sure a bunch of you have. And I'm also sure there's some people in here that probably haven't. And I just want to encourage you to do it. It'd be a good thing to do at least once. Amen. Before you kick the bucket. I got to warn you, though. You just might, it might become addictive. Then you might want to read it again. And again. And again. Amen. Amen. If you've already done that, you already read your Bible all the way through, let me ask you this. Have you ever read it through in 1 year's time? In one, yeah. And some people emphasize that, and I don't, that's up to you, but it'd be a good thing to do one time, right? So, well, I don't see why. Okay, but I'm going to challenge you to do it. And you might be like me. You're not a student. You're not, you know what has helped a lot of people is those Bible reading schedules that they put out. Now, some people, my wife wouldn't need something like that, but I would. Others would. There's a gal out in Staten Island, and she'd been saved 20 years, and she's been reading her Bible for 20 years. But she said, Brother Spurgeon, I never read my Bible from Genesis to Revelation in a 12-month period until your wife gave me a Bible reading calendar, a calendar that had a schedule in it. And she goes, that gave me some structure that I didn't have, and I did it, and I'm going to do it again, and things like that. And those are the kind of things we should encourage each other to do. And as Bible believers, that sounds like a good place to start. Read the Bible. Amen? And, you know, I'd like to say, probably many of you have that already down pat. Well, you know what? Good. Then you just check that off. Isn't it cool when you have a bucket list and you can check stuff off? Amen. So you can check that off. So let's see what else I got here. Let's see what else I got. How about 2 Timothy chapter 2? 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. I got a whole Sunday school lesson on this verse. This verse was the flagship verse of our Bible Institute. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen. Listen, you don't have to be a preacher to benefit from learning more Bible. Amen. It can't hurt you. And not only that, maybe a good thing to put on your bucket list would be to study some other material, even besides the Bible, some spiritual material, like missionary books. Missionary books. Books by Christian authors, autobiographies and biographies. My wife, if you were to ask my wife to recommend a book, and ladies do, and so don't you be, men, don't even be talking to her. But if you were to ask my wife, a lady was to ask my wife about a book that she had recommended, and she's read almost every book in the world that's decent, she would say, How I Know God Answers Prayer by Rosalind Goforth. You might want to write that down, ladies. That would be the book Susan Spurgeon would recommend. And she knows what she's talking about when it comes to reading books. Reading Christian books. I mean, read your Bible, of course. But study something else spiritual. Make a point to and just immerse yourself. And you know what it'll do? It'll help. It'll help increase your Christian vocabulary. Amen? Read doctrinally sound commentaries instead of just watching YouTube. Amen? Brother made a good point when he talked about that song. We're up here singing it, and you're hearing it, and you're hearing it, and going, yeah, that was good, that was good. Well, I know I missed some things, and that's the way it is when you rely on sermon audio or YouTube. And you might hear some good stuff, but you hear it, and it's over. But when you got a book, you can read it and then go back and reread it and go back and reread it. And that's how school was when most of us were kids. Amen. And so make a point to get a hold of that. We're in a day and age where everybody wants it all right on the
right on the little screen, a little screen, big screen, doesn't matter. People want that. I would encourage you. I'll tell you a book that I've read several times. I got it out there. I'm going to read it again. C.I. Schofield's book on rightly dividing is incredible. Rightly dividing is the very concept that makes the Word of God make sense, that eliminates all contradictions, and is the very thing that so many people don't get. And I come out of jail into a church that taught that in, like I said, rightly dividing the Word of Truth was the main thing in our Bible Institute. And it took me a couple years to realize that a lot of good, sound, saved Baptists even don't rightly divide the Word of Truth dispensationally like we do. Amen. And that's a good book to read. It's easy to understand. It just makes it all make sense. Who's talking, who they're talking to, and then what they're saying. That eliminates all that stuff with tongues, eliminates all that stuff with baptismal regeneration, eliminates all that stuff with losing your salvation. If you just follow the simple rules of rightly dividing. I'll tell you what, Charles Spurgeon, I can't even tell you how many thousands of times I've been asked if I'm related to Charles Spurgeon. And my answer every time is, of course I am. We are brothers in Christ. And that guy was a writer. And I've heard it said that he wrote more books. He's second most published author after the Apostle Paul. Now, considering the Bible is the most published book in the history of publishing books, Spurgeon is second. Amen. There is at the London Metropolitan Tabernacle in London, Charles Spurgeon's church that he pastored, that he started as like 21 years old, and pastored throughout his life, running 4,000 people without amplification. Amen. It must run in the family with Spurgeons to be loud. I don't know. Amen. I wish it ran in the family to be as spiritual as that guy was. Amen. So the Germans bombed his church. They bombed London in World War II, and the bombs came through the roof and wiped out the inside of the building and didn't hurt the structure of the walls. That must have been God. When they rebuilt after World War II the inside, and of course the congregation was much smaller, they cut this building in half, or at least in sections, and they made a big part of it a bookstore. And then the auditorium was appropriate. And it's still meeting today. And so Preacher, the missionary that we were there visiting, took us to the Spurgeon Church, and he asked them, my family's walking around looking at the books. My wife, she could spend a week there. And the missionary went over and said, is there any way we can go into the auditorium and see the auditorium? And the preacher and the bookstore guy said, no, that's not open to the public. The only way you get in there is to show up on Sunday morning service. And you're welcome to do that. And he told him, well, I'm preaching and down the road. The missionary said, this guy is David Charles Spurgeon. And the guy behind the counter did not believe him. Yeah, right. And he made me come and show my passport. And when I showed him my passport, they let me in. And my family. And I stood in that pulpit. And I... Amen. I'd recommend reading some of his stuff. Amen. Just before... I mean, maybe that's not your thing. But... just how about putting it on your bucket list to just say, you know, I'm going to read a missionary account, and there's names I can't even remember right now. It'd be a blessing to you. Amen. Like I say, there's always a danger. You might find it interesting and do it even more than once. You know, we read, but we read internet news articles every day. Have you noticed it's basically the same regurgitation week in, week out, month in, month out, year in, year out? Nothing changes. It's not going to change. And that stuff, I mean, we are wired to just be so drawn to that stuff. And then you look up and a year goes by and we haven't read one Christian book. And if you're not careful, you won't even read any more of your Bible than you have to. I'm just trying to encourage you to
rearrange your priorities and maybe this concept of bucket list. Say, well, before I kick the bucket, I'm going to read through some things. And I'd like to encourage you to do that. Talk about a Christian bucket list. Let me say this. I think every Christian ought to get involved in some way, shape, or form in public ministry. I'm not talking about surrendering to do anything. I think you ought to do it before you die, before you ought to try it just once. Amen. I heard you guys had a guy in here that promotes Bible distribution. What's his name? Netterville. I've never heard that before. I've heard of that in the Ukraine. I've heard of that in India. I've heard of that all over the mission fields, going in and passing out Bibles. People take it, but doing it in America, I'm telling you, America's a mission field. I think that's a great idea. And really what caught my attention was that some of you that are reluctant to go street preaching were willing to come and do that. I think that's great. Everybody's not wired to do all the same stuff, but what a blessing it is to find an opportunity where you can do something. Amen. Everybody can invite people to church, right? And, you know, when my tracts that I carry and I take to churches are blank on the back. They don't have any church info, but the tracts that we have, mine and others, printed for at home, they'll have our church info on it. And we get them out all the time and say, this is our church. Come visit us. We'd love to have you. And you can do that. Amen. Anybody can do that. Can I give you something to read? And have your church info. Make sure. Give an invitation to church. Come see us. Amen. You might not be real good at interacting with people until you get on your phone. Oh, I didn't mean to say that. Amen. But you know, if your church has door-to-door visitation, say, well, that's not my comfort zone. Well, it might, you know, could I encourage you to put it on your bucket list to come out of your comfort zone once at least before you die? I'll tell you what, you ever knock on a door and somebody actually doesn't slam it and somebody actually doesn't, I don't know, do whatever people do. What if people do get saved that way? People get come to church and get saved because they were invited, because somebody cared enough to knock on their door. Sometimes it's just hanging in church information. But I get around enough. I've seen people saved as a result of those kind of things. And yeah, it's not 100 years ago. But what does that mean? Shouldn't we still be doing something? Amen. Amen. Street preaching's great. Street preaching's good for the flesh, if nothing else. And we've seen people saved on the street, and we've seen people come to church because of the street ministry. Even if they never acknowledge you in person, I've seen people come to church, say, oh, how'd you hear about our church? Well, you guys got some kooks out on the corner, and I thought I'd come and check it out. Amen. It's a good public witness. It's good for the flesh. You know, everybody's afraid that somebody's going to, I don't know what, jump out of their car and beat them up. Amen. It never happened to me, James, you. Amen. Mostly they're good responses. Amen. I was street preaching in San Pedro, California. I mean, Los Angeles. And we were out there, the bunch of us. And when we got done, we spent an hour on this corner. And you get a variety of responses, but not as negative like you think. And we're leaving and going down to another corner where another group was, and there was a bunch of people on the other side of the street, two blocks away. And I wouldn't have known they were Christians by the way they're dressed, by the way they looked. Amen. And we had nice signs, you know, and their signs were pretty crude. Homemade, Jesus loves you, things like that. And they had seen us up the street, and come to find out, they started doing it. There's some little community, non-denominational, but they started doing it because Bayview Baptist Church was doing it. And they're down there, and when we're driving by, they seen us, and they start yelling, and I'm driving, and I look over, and they're like doing gang signs. Right on, man, keep it up. And I'm thinking, that's the first time I ever got encouraged with gang signs for street. And it wasn't negative about it. And we had an effect on other Christians coming out of their shell. What a blessing. I tell you what, you know, some people aren't comfortable with street preaching, but anybody can hold a sign. Right. And don't you know that they can drown you out what you're saying, but once it goes in, if the principle's in Psalm 101, what goes in the eye gate cleaves to your mind. We were in Nashville one time street preaching, and we had Dr. Ruckman's paintings on banners. 6 feet off the ground, big old banners. One guy would be on a corner holding, the other guy would preach, and we'd take turns. So I'm on a street corner preaching, and we got a nice banner. I think it was a Great White Throne Judgment, something, you know, that made you feel the love, you know, fire and stuff. And the guy's holding it, and I'm preaching, and his car comes up, and they start cussing. Well, I've been able to out-preach cussers. Amen. I didn't really hear the detail. And then they're revving their motor and honking their horn. And then they roll up their window, turn up their radio, roll up their window, and even peeled out. And trying to drown me out. And they did. They drowned me right out. I know they didn't hear a word I said. Amen. But as they made that corner, I watched the girl in the passenger seat stare at that banner all the way around the corner. She plugged her ears so she wouldn't hear me, and she could not. We are in a day and age where people are so visually motivated, she couldn't take her eyes off of that, and she got a witness in spite of herself. What a blessing it was to be out there. Not an attitude like, yeah, we showed them. No, praise the Lord, the Word of God doesn't return void. It doesn't. It goes and doesn't return void. The only thing that hinders the Word of God is if it doesn't go forth. And it's our responsibility to get it out there. I just challenge you, man. I know you guys do some public ministry. Amen. Just if you've never tried it, try it. Go to a nursing home. Amen. Go to a nursing home. Get in on Vacation Bible School. I know you're doing that. And I know many of you do, but I know a church this size, some of you. You just get into the habit, and I understand it. I'm not being condemnatory. But other people are doing it, and other people handle it, and you just, listen, just volunteer. Hey, is there a place for me? Can I come hang out? Can I watch? Because one day, things change. People get old and die. People move on. Things change. People move. And then other people have to step up to the plate. Amen. Amen. Get in, man. Get in. Quit waiting for everybody or letting everybody else do it. You're missing out. I go to churches that put a booth up at the fairs, hand out tracts and things like that. That's not hard. You get great sweet corn after the ministry's done. You know, you get. Could I just tell you the jail ministry is one of my personal favorites? Duh. So I mean, sometimes I go to churches and they have that covered pretty good. And I don't feel obligated to go to, is there jail? Right, let me go to the jail. No, I'm good. I got some prisons that I'm in now as a registered volunteer, whoever saw that coming. If I go to church and there's one guy doing the jail ministry for 10 years and nobody's helping him, I'll say, hey, man, can I go? You know, and sometimes they won't let me in because of my convicted felon status. Sometimes they do. God's in control. And so I went with a guy in a little church one time, and he'd been doing it 10 years. And he'd been doing it because it needed to be done. His heart wasn't in it. He said, you preach tonight. So I said, thank you. And I did. And some people got saved. And I was excited. That excites me. Amen. Amen. That just floats my boat. When a soul will forsake his sin and trust the blood sacrifice that Jesus Christ made and live forever. Amen. One is enough to keep me at this. Not one a week, not one a month, not one a year. One soul living forever is worth our all. Now your flesh did not agree with that, but your Spirit did, if you're saved. That's how important is a soul to God? Well, if that book says that he gave his only begotten son, don't you think that makes him pretty important? Don't you think maybe we ought to reconsider how important they are to us? If they meant that much to him, if he's not willing that any should perish. So some guys got saved at this jail service, and I'm happy. And we're riding back 20 miles to the church. And I'm happy. I said, man, that was great. Thank you for letting me come. And he's not. He's just. And he finally says this. He said, I've been doing this 10 years. These guys, they make professions. They promise to come to church. Not one guy's ever come to church. Do you think, he says, Brother Spurgeon, do you think any of those guys really, truly get saved in jail? I said, that's about the stupidest thing you could have ever asked me, isn't it? Amen? Get involved, man. Just say, well, I've never done it. I don't know what to do. I'm like, okay. Just why don't you put it on your bucket, Christian bucket list? And, you know, who knows? Maybe God will just let you get in on it. I'm not talking doing it out of duty or responsibility. Just maybe out of a heart to want to do something for God after what he did for you. Amen. I mean, the Bible does say it's reasonable, doesn't he? Get involved in public ministry. Let me give you something else. Put on your Christian bucket list. Go on a mission trip. Go, my soul, go on a mission trip while you can, before you die. Amen. You don't have to go to Africa. You don't have to go to Papua New Guinea. Amen. To see the need for the gospel. And that's fine. I got it from friends that are been going to Malawi for a couple years now. Big campaign there. A lot of fruit. I know people that go to different places, Mexico. But man, you ought to get in on something. Get in on a mission trip. I went to Mexico. I've been saved a couple years and went down there and preached, and I couldn't speak any Spanish. And they were so excited. Everybody's excited. They're sitting on 2x8s on upended concrete blocks in a building that part of the roof wasn't done yet. I mean, it at that time it wasn't. And 500 screaming Mexicans in there, so excited about Jesus Christ. I don't speak a word of Spanish, and I knew exactly what they were excited about. The Spirit bore witness. It was amazing. Amen. And the next day, the preacher took me and a couple of other guys with him and took us around to the neighborhoods and some of the little neighborhood churches that were participating in this big camp meeting. And boy, it hit me like a ton of bricks. I understood why they were so excited about the Lord the night before. I'm in neighborhoods, dirt streets. If they had a car, it might be a block away. If it's a rainy day, they'd have to park a block away because they couldn't get down their street. Several families living in small homes. 60%, they told me, 60% of the average male worker's income went to simply buy beans and maybe have chicken on the weekends. That's poorer than any of us have it. And these people were more excited about Jesus Christ than any Americans I've ever seen in a church. Why is that? Well, because Jesus Christ was absolutely the biggest thing in their lives. And then, of course, it hit me like a ton of bricks why we're not as excited about him as we used to be, as excited about him as they are, as excited about him as we should be. We've been blessed to our detriment. I'm going to tell you something, beloved. Now, we're a remnant, that's for sure, but it's time for us to figure out how to get Jesus Christ back on the throne of our life. Because if we're ever going to make an impact with the few that God still plans on saving, and he plans on saving some more, or we'd be gone, we better figure out how to give him the preeminence he deserves. And I'll tell you what will help you get your priorities lined back up again. It's go on a mission trip. Go on a mission trip. You can come back to America and be thankful how good you got it, and it'll do something inside your spiritual, your Christian spirit, to want to do more for God. I know you guys, some people here, I was happy to hear about some mission trips that some of your people had gone on with Couriers for Christ, right? An offshoot of Couriers for Christ, Brother Sturtz, is Dave Darling. He's out of Minnesota, and he's got a ministry that's very similar. He worked with Brother Sturtz for many years, and it's called Campaigns for Christ. And they've been going to Malawi. They go to Mexico. They go all over, too, and take 25 adults for 2 weeks in Malawi and see 300 people saved. They just got back in August. Amen. They had a mission trip going to visit a couple of Pensacola Bible Institute graduate missionaries in Brazil Oh, one of them was Joel Dare, matter of fact, a couple of years ago. And we had two granddaughters that were 17, and we had to get permission slips and everything for them to go along because they were underage. But they're good girls, and they're in church. But I'm going to tell you what, going down there for 2 weeks, amen, it changed them exponentially. They came back different, better, more focused, more in love with their Bible, more in love with the hymns, more in love with Jesus Christ. It was one of the smartest investments Grandma and I ever made. It helps you put things in perspective. Americans, we've had it good for so long, we have kind of a tendency to just take things for granted. That's a human nature thing. But a mission trip will help you get things back in perspective. So maybe you've been on one and you know what I'm saying is true. And if you never have, I want to encourage you. And opportunities come up. Couriers for Christ signs up. You can get a hold of them through their website up out of Kyle Stevens Church in Minnesota. Amen? All right, that's the fun stuff. I got another one for you. Here's something that don't get talked about much anymore. Take your Bible, go to Job 23. But it'd be good to do, at least once. Job 23 and verse number 12. Let me give you the title. I mean the verse. I mean the purpose. I mean what I'm talking about. It'd be good to make a point to get it on a real biblical fast. At least once. Amen? It says this in Job 23:12, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. That is the definitive verse right there that Job was not an independent Baptist. We are food oriented, aren't we? I'm going to tell you something. The flesh hates saying no to itself. And one of the best ways of getting it under control is to get it under control spiritually is to deny it its necessary food. That necessary is interesting in the passage. I heard it said once like this, Americans don't eat because they're hungry. Americans eat because they're afraid of finding out what hungry might feel like. We eat three meals a day and a snack at night. And there's countries in this world that don't. There's a billion people in this world that are happy to get one meal a day. Amen. I'm not trying to guilt trip you. I'm trying to tell you. And by the way, it'd be good to fast. Do that. Get that done. Sometime in your Christian life. It is in the Bible. And just let me say this. Bedtime to breakfast does not count. That's not that.
I fast every day.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and some of you get up at 3 a.m. and go to the refrigerator because that's where you tell me I put your prayer card in the refrigerator to keep me from being hungry. Okay. Now, we don't emphasize it very much, but Jesus Christ did. And let's see why he did. Go to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9 and verse 28. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast him out? And he said to them, this kind cometh forth, can come forth by nothing but prayer and fasting. There are times when fasting may just be the necessary ingredient for spiritual victory. Amen? We try everything else. I go to churches that fast before a revival like this. And I go to churches that they'll call me a week before and say, oh, Brother Spurgeon, what are those dates again? I said, starting next Sunday. And I say, oh, we'll be ready. And when they say we'll be ready, that means we'll make a little flyer. We'll announce it on Wednesday night. We'll figure out a food schedule. But ready means spiritually ready. That involves, Lord willing, lots of prayer and even fasting. And I go to a place and I can tell how much spiritual preparation has gone into a meeting by how the meeting goes. Amen?
All right, it says this in Isaiah 58 and verse 6. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke. Let me say something to you. If you're struggling with something, who doesn't struggle with something? If you're struggling with getting victory in some area, Lester Roloff once said, go into a room with a bottle of water and don't come out until you've got victory. And if that's a day or 2 days or 3 days, water. And that's thinking flesh starts breaking down and the spirit gets freed up. Amen? Something every Christian should experience at least once is a good old-fashioned biblical fast. Amen? I know you're glad that's over, but the next one is tithing. I know, ouch, tithing. You know what the flesh hates maybe more or almost as much as not eating? It's letting his greasy, stinking fingers off of that money. Amen. Some churches, I say, all they ever talk about is money. I'm thinking, that's the only thing you hear. It's because that's the only thing you think about. Amen. You're so afraid somebody's going to say, that's why I joke about it. That's why we're going to take an offering. Praise the Lord, man. Give generously. I tell James, go around twice. We need more money. I laugh at it. I make a joke. God take care of me. That don't mean he still don't want to use you. Don't shoot myself bang in the foot. Amen. But Malachi chapter 3 says this. I'll just read this because some of you, I'm losing you anyway. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me, notice that, prove me now therewith, saith the Lord of hosts, even if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. You know what people say? That's Old Testament. Tithing's Old Testament. Okay, I don't disagree. Malachi's definitely Old Testament. But Luke chapter 12 and verse 48 says, For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. And I'm going to tell you something. You're saved. You're saved here tonight. You're sealed until the day of redemption by the indwelling Holy Spirit, which you cannot run off. You've been given, you've got a complete divine revelation of the scripture. No Old Testament Jew had any of those things. You've been given more than anybody in the Old Testament. And he was required to give 10% tithes, and that's not offering. And we complain about 10 stinking percent. Truth be known, we probably ought to be given about 90 without whining about it. Now, if you look at it like that, 10%, yes, here, oh, gladly. But then the offering part comes in. Amen? You've been given much. People say, I can't afford to tithe. Let me give you a verse on that. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9 says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit of all thine increase. I heard a guy say, well, are we supposed to tithe off the gross or the net? And the preacher said, do you want a gross blessing or a net blessing? Amen. Oh, we cut corners, boy. And then verse 10 says, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst forth with new wine. Here's what, you know why you can't afford, some people say, I can't afford to tithe. You know why you can't? Because you don't. That's not too deep, is it? If you do, God says, I'll make everything else fall into place. But if you don't trust him, you're never going to be able to afford it. And you're going to miss the blessing. And he still loves you. It ain't your money he needs. He wants you, your faith. He wants your heart. And he wants to bless you. Amen? He says, prove me. The verse in Malachi says, prove me. I know this don't make sense to you. Prove me! Why don't you put proving God on your bucket list and just see if he won't pour you out a blessing. Christian bucket list. I'm not going to recap it. That don't mean I'm done, but I'm not going to recap it between points. Because I got another one. Proverbs 11. It says this in verse 30. Go ahead and go there. I'm not letting you off the hook. You guys don't go home that quick. It's only 8:30. Not light for another half hour. Proverbs 11. Verse 30. Bible says the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Could I say this? If you've never won a soul to Christ, put that on your bucket list. You ought to do that at least once before you die. Amen. Get it. Okay, let me put it in perspective. If you're saved, wasn't getting saved absolutely the coolest thing you could have ever done? Amen. I mean, really? All right, but there's a problem with salvation. I know I'm sounding like a heretic. You know what it is? You can only do it once. The coolest thing in the world, you only get to do once. So let me tell you what the second coolest thing there is. And you can do it often. And that's have something to do with somebody else coming to Christ. Amen? And you do that by witnessing, and you do that by getting people to church where they'll hear the preaching. You get that by handing out a tract. You get that by actually kneeling with somebody. That's a great experience. But you get that by praying for a missionary, helping a missionary. And when that prayer letter comes, you've got part of that. Amen? But I'm going to tell you what, there's nothing like just one-on-one. It'll change your life. It really will. Everybody, some people are super soul winners, and I've met some. I'm not. I'm not afraid to witness. I've led some people to Christ. I tell you what, yeah, everybody ought to be able to do it once. The maniac Gadara was told, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord has done for thee and hath that compassion on thee. Anybody can do that, right? If you're saved, you can tell somebody what the Lord did to deliver you from hell. And if you can't, how could you be saved yourself? Everybody doesn't memorize the Romans Road or all. Okay, but tell them what you found out. What Jesus Christ did to take care of your... Can't, right? Could I encourage you to do that? Amen? If you haven't noticed, people aren't exactly running down the aisles to get saved anymore. I was thinking earlier, I hope some lost people actually get invited to some of these next meetings I've got in the next 4 weeks. Maybe we're not seeing lost people get saved in church because we're not inviting them. And let me just add this. You're not seeing saved people rushing down the altar anymore either. I wonder if those two go hand in hand. Amen. That's what revival's for, right? Amen. I'm trying to help you tonight. Amen. If there's anything that should be on your bucket list, child of God, is leading somebody to Christ. Question is, can you? There are a lot of mature Christians that can't. Ladies come to my wife, she does ladies, and say, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to do it. Amen? Well, that'd be a good thing to figure out. Learning scripture so that you could lead somebody to Christ ought to be on your bucket list. Man, woman, boy, and girl. Amen? And asking the Lord for an opportunity and the courage to recognize it ought to be on your bucket list. I'm not trying to change what you're going to do from now. I'm just saying, consider these things. Put them on your... I'd like to do that once before I die. Yeah. And hey, I'm pretty confident that some of you'll realize the same thing I did. Wow, are you kidding me? I wish I'd have got this going earlier. Amen. All right, here's what I say last of all. Ready? Last of all, salvation. Do you realize that God has a bucket list?
I'm talking about your bucket list. But you know that God has a bucket list too? It says this in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. You know what's on God's bucket list? Souls. My name was on it. November 30th, 1990, my name came off God's bucket list. I got saved. Amen? If you're not saved tonight, your name is on God's bucket list. He died for you. He knows you. He wants you. Amen? Say, well, I'm saved. You know somebody that isn't. And they're on God's bucket list too. And he'd like to use you to help them come to Christ. You know, I wonder, I preach and I wonder, I don't assume everybody that doesn't raise their hand on invitations really saved. We live in a day and age, people are apprehensive. I get that. I was. Amen. I didn't respond to the first invitation I got. I got saved alone in a jail cell. Amen. But I think people hear the gospel, don't doubt it. Don't doubt Jesus lived, died, went to the cross, went to the grave, rose from the dead. Don't doubt it. Don't doubt he died for their sins. Definitely don't want to go to hell. And they take it in and take it in and don't react on it and think, I'm going to do that one of these days. And they put it on their bucket list. I'm going to get my sins forgiven. But there's other things, you know, you got this flesh that's saying, yeah, but if you do that, you won't be able to do this, and then you won't be able to go there and have some fun first. And you think, well, one of these days, though. And then that day never comes. And then they never get a chance. The Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth, let alone next week, next year. Amen. If you're in here tonight and you plan on getting saved, could I tell you, it'd probably be a good idea to take care of. The Bible says now is the accepted time. Right. You can ask, most of us in here are saved, maybe everybody, I don't know. But aren't you glad you're saved? Amen. I never met anybody that said they weren't. Amen. Maybe they just wouldn't say that to me because I'd tell them they're idiots. Amen. Yeah. Say, well, I don't like church. Okay. You like hell? Well, I don't want to go to hell. Oh, okay, that's what I thought. We're talking about redeeming the time, for the days are evil, and the days are definitely evil. And we know this. Maybe you don't realize it. I'm 71. Never in a million years did I dream I'd be 71. I don't even know what happened to the land. We've been on the road 27 years. I don't even know where it went. Bam. Time's flying. All these little babies. If the Lord tarries, they're going to be having babies before you know it. And we better do something for God while we can. Amen. Well, the Lord's coming back. I know it. He definitely is. I know it. What are you going to do between now and then? Nothing. I don't agree with that. Amen. Let's do something with the time we got. We better figure out how to make the most of it. Because once time's gone, buddy, it's gone. Can't get it back. Let's stand. Gave you some things, provoke you to think tonight. And I'm not going to go down the list, not because of time, but because I don't remember. It was so much. But you heard it. Maybe the Spirit of God spoke to your heart on one of them areas. If one of them nailed you, I'm happy with that. Let's do something with the time we got. Amen. Preacher?